Well, thanks for coming. And I don't know, I'm excited about this session. I'm excited about this conference because I think that, you know, these are some areas that, to be honest, we don't talk about all the time. I don't know about you, but we need to focus on these more. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Why is it important that we understand the gifts we've been given? Why is it important that we understand who we are? Just throw some ideas out. Why is it important? So we can develop them. So if we don't know how we're gifted, we can't intentionally develop ourselves in those areas. True. What else? Why else is it important that we understand our gifts?
You can't solve for your weaknesses.
Pardon me?
You can't solve for your weaknesses if you don't know where you're.
That's true. Again, if you don't understand who you are, and sometimes here's the thing, we focus on our weaknesses too much and we don't focus on our strengths. And so if we're gifted in an area, we'd be better off to develop that area than to say, well, I better have all these things in place. Is there another reason why it's important that we understand what our gifts are? Okay, there you go. So God can use you to the fullest potential. And that just doesn't impact you. That impacts many, many other people. So I think if we consider the fact that what is in you and I is latent potential, right? Latent potential. And so if we don't develop it, we're actually in some ways robbing, might be a really too strong word, but we're kind of robbing the body of Christ. We're holding back from what God's trying to do in the world because we're part of it. And I think that's where we need to help our people to see that. How many people here have ever felt totally inadequate to do something? Yeah, of course, all of us. How many? Nobody. Yeah, there's one guy. How many people here, and part of it's been because you weren't clear on maybe how you were wired, or anybody here taken tests, you know, personality tests or certain tests that have helped you? Did you feel more confident after you did that? Yeah, okay. So you get the picture. This is why it's important, and I think we need to help our people more and more to understand these gifts. So today I've been tasked to talk about how to teach the motivational gifts. And here's some scriptures for you that kind of give you the imperative. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, we are encouraged to use our gifts. In fact, some translations imply commanded. Like it's not an option to use what you've been given. I like the aspect of submission today. Wasn't that powerful when he talked about submission? Because I think part of this command is we've been given the gift and we need to submit it to our Maker again. And that means however he wants us to use that gift, we're going to use it. Romans 12:6-8, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. So when we talk about these motivational gifts, we're looking at graces that God has given us. Quick story about graces. So I was a youth pastor for a number of years, and I'd never led a church, and I knew I would at some point. And so one of the key things that really was emphasized to me when I became a lead pastor, I remember, you know, when I was a youth pastor, I think I knew everything about how a senior pastor should function because I could see it all. Anybody ever been there? I'm like, well, if I was the pastor, I would do this and everything. And then all of a sudden, I became the pastor, and it made me realize how tough it was. Right? Like, ooh, I got to preach again next week, right? I don't have 3 weeks to prepare my message. The biggest thing that helped me, though, was then I had a mentor that told me, he said, Ian, right now you don't feel that, you know, you don't think you can do this job. But when you become that pastor, and again, it's kind of like the laying on of hands. It's the same idea he talked about this morning. He said, you'll have a gracing to do that function. And then he said this to me. He said, you need to lean into that gracing. And that has helped me in everything I've done, lean into it. And it means I depend on the gracing, God's empowerment, his undeserved empowerment in an area that gives me an ability to function. And these gifts really are gracings from God. They are gifts from him. They are abilities from him. We don't deserve them. We don't earn them. He gives them to us. But he says, lean into them. So for example, on Friday, you know, we're being set in as the new leaders. Well, it can seem a little intimidating, right? And I felt that way at times, to be honest. But the Lord's come to me and said the same thing about it. He said, Ian, when you have this new role that I give you, it's just the same as when you move from your other role into the current role. And then it's just there's different gracing. And I'll give you the gracing so you lean into the gracing I've given you. So when we look at these gifts, their grace that's given to us, we need to teach our people, A, what are the gifts that they have and how do they look? And B, then we need to encourage them to lean into them. And the leaning in part means that they need to use them, right? I mean, I can know I have some certain ability, but if I don't lean into it, if I don't say, you know, right now I'm gifted in this area, I'm a little tentative, I've never done it. And that's where if they know they have the gracing for that area, they can say, you know, I'm going to step out because I believe God's given me the grace. And as you do, you grow and God gives you more. So we looked at the 9 manifestation gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. Just a quick review last night. Mark was talking about 1 Corinthians 12, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, tongues, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. 5 ministry gifts we talked about again this morning. Often referred to as a 5-fold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And today, in this session, it's the motivational gifts of Romans 12. So let's read it here. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, and you notice last night, Mark used the word perceiver, just to kind of delineate between, you know, kind of the office of the prophet and more of this gifting of perception. Let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, or an exhorter, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others or a giver, let him give generously. If it is leadership, and in brackets, administrator, because that's actually how they often look at this gifting. It is more of an administrative ability, which is a leadership gift. Let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, compassion, let him do it cheerfully. So these are the gifts we're going to look at. Now, here's some things to consider and that's important for people to understand. Number one, our gift was built into us when God formed us. Psalm 139. Isn't that amazing, Psalm 139? You know, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Have you ever meditated on this passage? Like really thought about it? You know, all my days are written in a book before one of them came to be. God foreknew who you would be, what you would do. You know, I was reading Jeremiah 1, the calling of Jeremiah. And I was doing it just in my daily Bible reading here recently. And again, it was very timely for me with this transition that's coming up in Lifelinks. You know, because this is what I see more and more. Knowing you're called and knowing that God has gifted you because of that calling and he's graced you is everything. That gives us all confidence. And so as I read Jeremiah 1, what hit me was that Jeremiah said, before I was born, you called me. It's the same idea. Before, and God actually tells him, before you were born, I called you. Isn't that amazing? Like, we really need to think about this. Your calling is not some light thing. And as a believer, and I'm not even talking about, you know, the offices and functions. I'm talking about your calling to use the gifts you've been given. They were predetermined by God, specially suited to you before you were born. And I think, again, that gives us the mandate. You know, if you're like me, sometimes you have the thought of, what right do I have? What suitability? Have I earned this? Do you understand? We think that way, don't we? We think it's all based on earning, performance. These are all the issues that cause us to be who we are. But really, if we go back to the essence, it's this calling aspect. It's this original intention of God, this design for us. That's where it comes from. And everything comes from there. And if we can get secure in who we were designed to be and what he called us to be and our relationship with him as a son or daughter, because it comes out of that, then the rest of it will flow. It'll just happen. And we won't be straining and struggling and try to figure out who we are. So our gift was built into us when God formed us. Secondly, we are not to neglect our gift, but rather be diligent. Now, this is interesting. I want to ask you a couple questions in a minute. 1 Timothy 4, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Now, let me ask you this question. How do we neglect our gifts? Let's talk about it for a minute. What does it mean? Do not neglect your gift. How do we neglect what we've been given? Okay, that would be a first step. We doubt it. So if someone says you've been gifted in this way, and we doubt it, what happens? Yeah, and nothing happens beyond it. Okay, so that initial doubt, that lack of confidence and faith, can cause us to disregard. You ever had a prophetic word like he talked about this morning that seemed way beyond and you just kind of forgot it right away? Anybody ever done that? Can I encourage you not to do that? It's not good. Let me encourage you what I do. Can I tell you what I do? I have what I call my daily faith declaration sheet. And I don't actually read it every day, but frequently. And what I have on it, what I've done is I've compiled a collection of my prophetic words over the years. The things God spoke to me, either through a prophetic presbytery where hands were laid on me, or through somebody sharing. You know, Josh right here. Josh, several years ago at the Prairie Regional Pastors Retreat, you gave me a word. And you spoke to me, and I won't go into all of it, but you gave me a word that's on my sheet. I pray it all the time. Why? Because when Josh spoke it to me, I sensed it was from God. And the season that it fit, it was just, I knew it was the Lord. So I put it on my sheet. Thank you. Now, God used his gift to impart something to me. You see that? Now, the thing is, his word has helped me because I've taken it seriously and I've put it down. So I have a collection of things God's spoken to me over the years about my identity, about who I am, what I will do. Many of them still feel way out there. Some of them are coming to pass now. Isn't that amazing? Some of them are coming to pass now, but some are way out there. But I'm going to keep praying into them, because if I forget and I doubt, I will neglect. I will just listen to the devil who says, you can't do anything, you're not gifted in these areas, and I won't do it. So that's one way you can do it. I challenge you to do that. Write down. And if you get scriptures and things in key seasons, make a note. And my document gets longer. But it's so encouraging. I've been, to be honest, before this whole season right here, this changeover, I've been going through it a lot. Why? I'm reminding myself of what God has said and who I am. Because this isn't dependent on me. It's dependent on God's call. I need to obey him, and if I trust him, he will empower me. Do you understand? That's how you and I go beyond what we think we can do. I'm starting to preach, but that's okay. Here's the thing. When you and I limit what we're going to trust God for to our experience, or even how we view ourselves naturally, the lid is really low. And one of the keys for us in our network, in each lives in our church, is that we would really believe what God says about us. And we would really begin to push forward and trust those words and push into them. So neglect. Do not neglect. So we can neglect by not believing. How else can we neglect our gifts? Just don't use it. There's opportunity. You don't engage. You don't use that serving gift when you could. You just choose not to engage, okay? Any other ways we can neglect the gift?
Coast on your current level of understanding.
Okay, so you're like, hey, I'm functioning well enough. I'm not going to go deeper. I'm good. Okay, that's true. Okay, and it says be diligent. So let's flip it then. How can we be diligent in developing our gifts? What does that mean? Any thoughts? Look for opportunities, right? And then take them when they come in your area of gifting.
Invest in it.
What are ways you can invest in your gift? Just ideas. Learning, yeah. Find a mentor, someone to work with you in that area of giftedness, yeah. Look for opportunities again, like seek them out. How can I grow? Yeah, be diligent. So you can see here that Paul was challenging Timothy. And again, the reality for Timothy is he had latent potential because of the prophetic words he'd been given. He had latent potential. Paul was saying, you had some prophetic words given you, hands were laid on you, impartation to you, and if you let fear stop you, if you don't believe that what God gave you is valid, you'll disregard it, and nothing will happen. We have to see those prophetic words as gold. You know, I like what he said this morning about it. He talked about how God spoke to him, and because of it, they believed it. Look at that 40-year-old prophecy, like his wife at 40. Can you imagine that? And God fulfilled it. All right, let's go to number three. Our gift colors all we see. Our gift colors all we see. You know, recently I left my glasses in my car. My car's in the shop in Calgary, and I left my favorite glasses. Glasses that have gone to all over the world with me. Hope I never lose them. They're just like a part of me now. So I left my favorite sunglasses. So I was looking for sunglasses like that I could just wear. And I looked through a collection that we have in our house. I don't know why. And there was this one set of sunglasses that was like yellow. I don't know who. I put them on. The world was like bright. It was like turn down the light. Anybody ever put those on? You know, and I don't know if it was for snow or I don't know. I didn't end up wearing them because I just felt like I was... it just felt too much stimulation. But here's the thing. Sunglasses do that. You know, it's like wearing your dark sunglasses, you know, at dusk. And you're like, why is it so dark out? I can hardly... Oh, wait a minute, right? Oh, yeah. So sunglasses change how we see. Well, these gifts actually change how we see things. Have you ever sat in a leadership meeting... with your other team members, and you're like, if they would just think like me, why can't they see what I see in my greatness, right? Like they don't see this, and that guy, he sees it so differently. What's wrong with him? Like, but here's the thing: he or she has a different gift, and it just affects your complete ability to see life. Look at perceivers, the prophesying gift. They will look at life through a perceiver's eyes, which is good or bad, right or wrong, in God's will or out of God's will, right? How many of you would say you're a perceiver without taking a test? You just think, that's kind of my... Put your hand up. Be proud. Like, don't be shy. Yeah. Okay, so we have a few. All right. So the rest of you are saying you're more gray, like not as black and white about things. Okay, which is true. But we need perceivers. We don't we? We need people who are going to look at things and be really clear about what's but for us that maybe are less that way, maybe not quite so right and wrong, black and white, we need to have grace to receive from them because we need it. And for those who are totally black and white, they need to have grace to receive from the others who might go, I know it's really clear cut to you, but I don't think it's quite... There might be a third way. There might be another way. Can we look at that, right? So you see how that works. So perceivers. Servers, on the other hand, will approach reality with a question. What can I do to help this situation? They constantly notice opportunities to do things for others. And I like what Mark did last night when he threw the paper down and then people ran up, right? I'm sure there was others that were struggling not to run up, right? We got to help him. But that serving gift. Let me ask you this question. How can we... Sometimes I think that the serving gift, how can I put this? We don't think it's as valuable. Anybody kind of feel like, oh, he's got a serving gift or she's got a serving gift. As if it's, you know, they're just kind of the cleanup person. But let me ask you a question. How can we in our ministries make that seem more significant? Because isn't the servant of all kind of the most important thing, right? And yet sometimes I think that's not highlighted. And so let me ask you a question. How can we do that? How can we make serving seem more important? Any ideas here? Absolutely. What you celebrate, right, is reproduced, goes on. Show gratitude. What else can we do? Anything else? There you go. That's right. So actually, even when it seems inordinate, raising them up and highlighting them. Yeah, that's good. Anything else we can do? Yes, that's true. You know, sometimes with kids' ministry, we've talked about that. Just let them show up and there's nothing going on. But I really, I really push back to that because I go, that might not be good because they might go down the street, right? Yeah. So, but yeah, I hear you. All right. Okay, let's look at teachers. Teachers search for truth in everything they encounter. The teacher's always investigating, seeking, and researching. Yeah. Alex Marriott. Would you consider yourself a teacher? I mean, yes, he does. So Alex Marriott, one of the smartest guys I know. In fact, I should just have you on speed dial for stuff I don't understand. And it's not just theology. I mean, he's amazing with theology. But it's lots of things. He's got a plethora of understanding. But he's got that gift. And I don't think it's hard for you, is it? To learn and to teach others. It's just in you. Yeah, it's a gift. It's a grace thing. And so we need to find those people. We need to help them. Exhorters see opportunities to encourage people at whatever they do. And that's important. Givers look for ways they can invest their time, talent, and money, providing for the needs of others. Let me ask you a question about givers. So I think one of the dangers that happens in church is that the people that give, because there are people like that, and they usually have the ability to make money as well, right? It's one and the same. It's like they can make money, and then they just have a heart to give it away, and God gives them more, and there's those people. So the one risk we have with that gift in the church is that they can feel taken advantage of if we're not careful, right? Because, you know, we can start to think, oh, that person's, you know, the bank. We gotta be careful, but you know what I mean. So let me ask you this question. How can we make sure that the givers, the people that have that inordinate gift to give, and that can be time, talent, treasure, that could be other things than just money. How can we make sure, it's kind of similar to what I asked earlier, but hopefully a bit different. How can we make sure that they don't burn out, that we really keep them feeling valued? Yeah? Same thing, show them gratitude. How else can we? Acknowledging what they're doing. And probably at times bringing them into the process, right? We don't just want your money, but we actually want your input. We actually want your connection in this and your feedback and, you know, within reason. Yeah. So givers. Administrators, with their broad vision, quickly grasp the overall dimensions of situations. Who is administrative here? I want to just see the hands. Is Bev here? Oh, okay. You know, so Bev and James Dow came from Church of the Rock almost 9 years ago. And amazing. And so we didn't know them. They didn't know us. They heard an invitation, I was going to say plea, that doesn't sound really negative, an invitation from the pulpit to come to Calgary and help us plant Church of the Rock Calgary, and they came, and we didn't know at all who they were. We met them like twice, right? Talked to them. They seemed nice enough, right? We must have seemed nice enough. I was okay. But they come. Here's the thing about it. Bev's my administrator, and she's an amazing administrator. I'll just say it right off. She's incredible. She was kind of a diamond in the rough, right? She wasn't actually functioning fully yet in that. And so she comes to us. I don't really know who she is. And she starts serving me. Put her on staff, which was the smartest thing I did. Hey, I need help, right? Put her on staff. Today, she's helped me administrate Lifelinks. She's actually administrator of Lifelinks. And she just keeps growing. And she build systems, and I love it because I don't think like that with what she's doing. I think the administrative gift, we just need to really honor and appreciate that. I know Jeanette Klecht is sitting back there. She's administrator for Church of the Rock for years, developed many of the systems, and I hear she's kind of come out of retirement again to help, right? Just can't go away, Jeanette, can you? They need you, yeah. So, but why do I highlight this? I think sometimes we don't fully appreciate how important this gift is. And I just know in my own life, if you don't have that administrative gift tied into some of the other ministry functions, things don't go forward. So let me just say this to the administrators in the room. You need to understand that your gift is spiritual, right? This isn't like I just have this knack and ability. This is a gracing that God gives you so you can help ministries develop and grow. And without it, there will be a stunting. So don't put a lid on that. Like if you're administrative, and I think again, going back to us as church leaders, we need to make sure that we really highlight and appreciate that. We, you know, this is, I think there is isn't there an administrator's day once a year or something? I don't know. We need to make sure. I think Bev bought a hoodie that says my superpower is administrator. What? Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, which is the same, right? It's pretty much the same. So I just want to throw that little plug in there. I think it's important to honor these people, make sure they know that what they're doing, it's highly practical, but it's very spiritual. And it is a gift that they have been given, right? We need to find those people, we need to develop them, and we need to honor those people. Compassionate people showing mercy are very sensitive to hurts and wounds that need to be healed. They see endless opportunities to show and express love. And if you know people like this, we had a lady in our church in Medicine Hat, I remember, she just was always bringing people into the church all the time. She just had such a heart for people, and often people who were more down and out, and she just had that sense. And anytime there was a problem, her heart was moved, you know, sometimes it's almost too much. I don't know how to say that. I mean, you know, because she would want to drive her agenda completely on the mercy things that she saw. And, you know, we can't do everything. But I appreciate the fact that she had that burden that would inspire the rest of us, right? Because it does, right? When somebody has that gift, they inspire the rest of us. And I think here's something I want to encourage you to think about if you have that gift. You can be an influencer to inspire other people. And I think you need to see that. If we just see it as this is my function, it's almost like an equipping aspect. If we could see, look, I have a compassionate gift for caring, but I want to actually use it to inspire others to also care. I want to be a role model. And all these gifts can be used that way. So which one of us is not from time to time ask ourselves, why don't others see things the way I see them? It's so clear to me. Again, we have different glasses. So we have to understand the viewpoints of these other people that don't have our gifts. We have to try to inculcate them into our culture. We have to honor them and try to work together so that there's a synergy. I think it's important. The fourth point is each gift is of equal value. No gift higher or better than another gift. It's kind of what I was saying earlier about maybe some of the things we honor and some of the things we don't. We need to understand that these gifts are all important together. It's like the body, and I'm going to look at that. Let's just look to this chart. I think it's on this. Oh, that's easy to read, isn't it? Okay, didn't think about that. Okay, but it's online. Like you can get this downloaded. If you're from Church of the Rock, I mean, I took this from Make Your Mark. You know that, right? So I just want to give a shout out. So, because you guys are good at this. So, you know, my gift is copying other people. Anyway. But what I want to point out in this, if you can see it, otherwise just listen to the sound of my voice. The perceiving gift, if you look at it, it meets spiritual needs. So this is kind of referencing how they're all different. It meets spiritual needs. And the body models this gift, and it's the eye. So the perceiver, it's the eye of the body. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, or sorry, Romans 12, you look at the picture of the body there, how important it is to have the whole body functioning, and how, you know, if everybody were an eye, you know, where would the hearing be, and so forth. So let's look, the perceiver is the eye, sees things that others miss. The server is practical, needs are met. And this is the hands. So the server is someone who has capable hands, able to fix or build, and they like hands-on involvement. And we need that. We need the hands. The teacher, which is more mental needs are met, they're the mind. They're the ones who have the keen, intelligent, always asking questions, keep searching until they're convinced. The exhorter is more psychological. They're the mouth. And I like this phrase, talk a lot, they have the best oiled jaws, and they are endowed with the ability to speak. They're an exhorter, and not everyone has that, but if you have that, you're called to encourage others. Let me just say this thing about the exhorter. I think that Even if you and I, even if we're not, we wouldn't say this is a primary gift, and, you know, I'm an exhorter, and I can stand up in front of people, and I think we should all endeavor in some way to be exhortative, encouraging, building others. However level that is, I think it's just being a believer. Giver is material needs are met, and these are the arms. They extend the reach of Christian endeavors, and they're the arms that can take us into other parts of the world, that can extend our reach. The administrator is more functional needs. These are the shoulders, and they shoulder responsibility. They carry the load, and I like this phrase. Wise administrators know how to yoke up with Jesus so that he bears the burden with them, right? We all need to actually do that. And then finally, the compassion person is emotional needs are met. This is the heart. They're ruled by the heart rather than the head, right? You've seen that. Somebody's got a real strong gift of compassion. They're not processing it all just logically. It is their heart is moving them. Jesus moved in this gift at times, right? It says he was moved with compassion, right? His actions were moved by what was happening here within him. And it's the heart that we need to see happen there. So the key about these gifts when we teach them, and this is just a quick overview to help us with this, but the reality is none of us, and I kind of alluded to this just a minute ago, none of us is just linked to one gift. In other words, when the call to roll the tables out and set up the chairs come, that's not the moment to go, I don't have a serving gift, right? That's just not appropriate. Right? Amen, Bell says. Or like when it comes to tithing and giving money to the church, I don't have a giving gift. That would be bad, wouldn't it? Only 2% of your church has the giving gift. Not good. So we're meant to function in these areas. Just some of them are more pronounced and they're actual gracings for us. Now, there's a test you can find online. It's called a motivational gifts profile. I didn't print one off for everyone, but if you look on where the notes are online, this profile is there. And if you go through it, it will help you. It's got a... Let's see, how many questions does it have? It's 76 questions. It must be that 76 questions are the perfect number of questions to determine this. Anyway, 76. 76 questions, and then there's some other things that it details there, some other questions it asks you. And so at the end of this, it'll give you your preferences, and you can use this for others. I have used tests like this in the past with our team and with our church. When people went through classes and so forth to find out where they were to fit in the church. Because again, you know, I think every church, we need something to help people figure out who they are and how they can plug in to the giftings. One thing that we've done at times is plug in the ministries of our church and try to link it with the specific gifts so that, you know, if I have a certain gift, I can say, well, this ministry here and these specific ones actually fit my gift, and that would be an opportunity for me to grow. So that's online. You can get that. We have time for questions. I hope there's a lot of them. Yeah, good ones. Okay, Gary. Yeah, well, again, with the fivefold, we would use the word office. It's like a proven ministry, proven equipping ministry, equipping other teachers to teach. Those Ephesians 4 ministries are equipping. So there's a higher level of function and maturity, in a sense, to that, and office, authority. You know, the teaching gift talked about here is somebody who's going to dig in and teach and grow and you know, going to be able to function in their own gifting. That doesn't mean they couldn't equip other people, though. They could. I mean, that person could help others grow. But I think it's more the focus and the anointing on that and just the scope of influence. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
To expect I lead worship. I don't do Sunday school. I've never really, I've done it. I can do it, but that's not where I feel called to. And so I think sometimes, am I off in saying that it's not always, you know, just because this is a job you do and you are good at it, and that's what you're called to do as a job, that's not necessarily where your church-based spiritual gifts are.
Yeah, I don't think it's a disconnect. I think God gives you a heart and a burden in the church for other things, right? And yet you use that teaching ability in school. Yeah, does anybody have any thoughts about that? That they would want to weigh in regarding that idea?
Might be like when she turns 40,
suddenly
she'll get that.
There you go. Yeah, there could be a shift. Paul.
It definitely, I didn't understand at the time, but I had a heart for kids and I wanted to work with kids, and God used it to train me to organize in the best way I could, you know, because I wasn't that way, and I was all of a mess actually at the time. But what I found was my heart for kids was the thing and the passion that I had that drove me to carry on doing that job, and I felt fulfilled in that. But then I came into pastoring, and now I pastor. I don't teach. I've got a prophetic gift, but I always struggled in my mind because I kept thinking, I'm a teacher by title, but I just don't feel like I've got the skills like everybody else. But I would say it was my heart and my passion to work with kids that caused me to carry on and give me vision. I saw what I wanted, and I love doing that, and I'd do that at any time. So I hope that helps. But I think it's the titling. It gives you a name. You're a teacher, and then that puts it on you, and you think, oh, I should be a teacher. Like, look at those people. It's easy to look around and compare and think I'm no good because I haven't got that quality or that administration gift. But what I've found is I just get people around me now who can do that stuff, and it's amazing. God is amazing. So I hope that helps you. So.
Good. Teaching kids is probably more of a shepherding.
Thank you, Paul.
You're chasing around.
Paul was a tent maker, right? So like his job enabled him to do what his ministry gift was. If he hadn't had an opportunity to make money, he couldn't have then pursued the things that God was calling him to do outside of that, right? He had a job. Like, I have a job where I go and make money and thank God for it, but the thing that I do at church has nothing to do with my job, right?
Boy, there's so much wisdom in this room. I know. Well, that's why I ask questions. Anyway.
What can the church do more or can do to release people into these? Like, sometimes it's obvious what opportunities there are for people, like a giver or whatever. But, like, is it, like, natural pathways or sort of, like, natural opportunities for people to be released in their gifts, to be trained in their gifts, to be equipped in their gifts, empowered in their gifts? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are teachers all supposed to teach in Sunday school? Like, and you said shepherding, right? Like, what other opportunities are for teachers? What opportunities are there for perceivers and these kinds of gifts?
That makes sense. I think a lot of it depends on the different church or ministry. And like I said, something we've done in the past is to, you know, when we kind of onboard people into the church, is to actually do some testing and then try to help them. I know that this church here, Church of the Rock, does that very intentionally with their assessments and their Make Your Mark course. They're trying to help people to figure out what their gifts are and then actually direct them specifically towards, you know, those gifts in the church. So I think it depends on the church, how many. Are you asking, should a church be aware and trying to actually create opportunities for those specific gifts? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I even help people to understand where the opportunities.
Right.
That, like, yeah. Actually are commensurate with their gifts.
Yeah. And I think there are ways to do that. Like, again, with some of the onboarding, finding their gifts, and then pointing them towards areas of service. And I would encourage you, honestly, if you talk to Church of the Rock here about how they do it, and they have, like, don't you have, like, a volunteer coordinator kind of position? So somebody who's actually trying to plug them in, and it's a larger church, right? So there are churches doing that, and I'd encourage you that way. You might be from Church of the Rock, are you? No. Okay, because I'm thinking, yeah, I'm telling her to, anyway. Somebody else had their hand up or was going to answer. Anybody else have an answer about what she was asking? Because that's a good question.
You just reminded me of what you said this morning about having, like, the pastor having his hand open, right? But then being willing to submit. So whatever gift you have, regardless of what it is, if you're willing to submit to somebody who's over you and give them the opportunity to send you out, then you can be put into wherever you need to go. And the example he gave was like, yeah, he ended up at being a janitor, right? So you might not get in exactly where you're hoping to get in, but by submitting yourself, you have an opportunity to be sent.
That's a good point about kind of entry level at times, right? We say, oh, I got this great gift, and it's like, no, you know, we need you here right now. Okay. And I found in my life, you probably found the same thing. If you serve where you're, God gives you opportunity, he promotes you, right? Sometimes to get where you really want to be, you have to start where maybe you don't want to be, but you just do what's needed.
I was just thinking, we have a connections class, which is, I don't know if it's 4 weeks or 6 weeks now, but that thing that you put up on the screen there, the profile, like finding your gifts, that might be a perfect opportunity to introduce something like that for new people. These are all new people to the church. They probably don't understand these things. So I just think that would be a great time to say, let's find out who you are, what your giftings are. If you want to serve, this is what we've got.
Probably is. And, you know, I think, you know, those people don't understand these things. I think often we haven't understood these things, right? We're in the church.
Okay. This is a conversation that you and I have had a couple times. Often when we look at our church structures, the way that we want to organize things is we have a recipe. This is the formula we want for our church, and we need to find people to be able to plug into these spaces. I think more frequently, especially at smaller churches, what we need to do is look in our fridge, go, what food do we already have? And then from what with the food we have, build a meal. And so take the giftings that God has given to your church and employ them properly and equip them and build them and work with them over time. And eventually you might get to your recipe, but in the meantime, you don't have to, like, often we want to headhunt to be able to actually supply our church, where what God's given us, everything we need to succeed.
Good job, Alex. Yeah. You see that teaching ability? Yeah. Anybody else? Question, comment? Oh. What's your name, sir?
Trent.
Should have been asking.
Just wanting to add, like, I know at Prairie Harvest in Yorkton, they just brought in a discipleship class, which essentially goes through and helps people to go through one of these tests, figure out who they are. And I think in a lot of places, like even for myself, you get the results of that test and you look at it and you go, gee, my number one isn't what I thought it was, but then you start really digging into that and you can see the opportunities where God has maybe been steering you that way and you haven't gone down that path, but by identifying and then given the opportunities now by going through that and having the leadership of the church see, okay, this person has that as their number one gifting, let's help them down the path to explore and to essentially develop that gift is very important.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Thank you. That's perfect. Thank you. One last question. Oh, Leah. Leah Beitler from Saskatoon. All right.
I'm just interested to hear what people think about some of the gender roles involved in this, because a lot of what I've seen is... it's more acceptable for women to have the mercy gifts or the serving gifts or those kinds of things. Like, I think Lifelinks is excellent at trying to pull out the other parts of it, but I still see that it takes a lot of us women to really work at stepping out in the other giftings. And sometimes it's more accepted than others. And the same goes for men, too. Sometimes they're not as accepted in the serving or in the mercy gifts. That's a broad generalization. But, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out and see what people are seeing these days in their churches.
All right. What are you seeing? Any thoughts about that? How you can help degenderize the gifts, in a sense, or help people to flourish. Any thoughts? I'll get back to you in a minute.
Like we have, I know some fellows in our church who are very servant-oriented, but they'll go out and fix people's cars, you know, things like that. It's not so much the traditional serving out, like they don't see themselves as having a servant gift necessarily, but that's what they do. They go out and they help people all the time. They shovel a lot, like driveways, things like that. So I think sometimes just the what's out there, what you always see, is sometimes what we make our opinions on. So
makes sense. We might say that certain activities are part of it and not others. All right, I'm back.
I think it depends on how healthy the church is and if they haven't been hurt, like in areas of, like, say, women's ministry or serving ministry or whatever. If they've been hurt by something, sometimes they tend to hold back a little bit or see it should be only done by maybe a man or only done by a woman because of the hurts the church have received.
Yeah. One more comment. One more on this issue. Anybody else have some wisdom for Leah? any other thoughts? Yeah. Sarah.
Thank you. I think from our church, it just depends on what you model from a leadership point of view and what you model that this is what we think works and what doesn't work. And within our church, for me as a woman, there's opportunity for wherever God's calling me to be. And that's what we try and model to the rest of the church. And I know everybody doesn't always see it like that, and that's okay. But within what we do, and that's what we try and do to release people and see their gifting where it is and to model and create space for it. But it comes down to your culture within your church and, you know, what you agree together as leaders, that this is what we believe about this and this is how we want to model this and create opportunity within the church. And, you know, everybody has their own opinion on that, but that's what we do. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who chimed in and gave their thoughts. This is very, very helpful. As you can see, this is a big topic, and this has just scratched the surface, but again, if you want some materials, go online and download those. You can take the test. You can use any of that. And there's other stuff out there as well. Why don't we pray? Ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for your gifts. Thank you for just this initial survey to these motivational gifts. And Lord, in all our ministries and churches, help us to better engage people at this level. Help us to understand what these gifts are. And then even in our context, to see what we have already that could be used, and then maybe how you might add to us in the future. Lord, show us that, help us, and we thank you for the privilege and the gracings you give us that we can lean into so that we can see your kingdom advance. Bless these fine leaders, and bless our afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.